from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. The highly anticipated series finale of HBO's Game of Thrones airs this Sunday, but not before more than 750,000 disgruntled fans have gone on record to say they want the final season remade. They've signed a Change.org petition criticizing showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss and calling for HBO to redo the entire final season with, quote, competent writers. Ouch. What's been a show that you've loved that let you down in the end with its final episodes? What shows nailed it for you? And if you're a Game of Thrones fan, what do you think of the final season? You can call us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on Facebook, on Twitter, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Joining me for this segment is Willa Paskin. She's a television critic at Slate. Good morning, Willa Paskin. Hi, Willa Paskin. Are you with us? Well, let's see if we can get a connection to Willa. And Renee Pastel is also with us. She's a PhD candidate in film and media at UC Berkeley. She actually taught a course on Game of Thrones at UC Berkeley. So, Renee Pastel, I feel compelled to say at the outset that I myself never got into Game of Thrones after seeing the first couple of episodes. So help me understand just what a phenomenon this HBO show has been, has become. Why is it so loved after it first aired in 2011? What inspired you to teach an entire course on Game of Thrones at UC Berkeley?
Sure. It's a fascinating show because it seems to have a lot of gratuitous sex and violence, which always draws viewers, and HBO knows that. And there's a sketch on SNL about the CEO of tits and being an important part of the show. But the show also draws on history, on theories of power. So my class actually brought together genre theory, narrative theory, and political theory, and thought about the ways in which these various people vying for the throne exemplified and played off of various theories of power, from Machiavelli to Foucault to more modern theorists, and we used the show in that way.
So lots of depth that may go past the initial sex and violence, which I'll admit was actually the turnoff for me initially.
Sure.
Though my friends have told me that it's actually a much more deeply thought out way of using those basic ways of getting people involved, and that also female characters play a very powerful role in the series itself. But therein also lies some of the criticism of this final season. Talk about why people are upset with some of the ways that the female characters have been portrayed this last season.
Season 5 and 6 saw the rise of the female characters, where we got some very strong female characters who'd been put through hell, and they finally were taking power and taking control of their situation. And this final season, those women are falling. Everyone is falling.
There's a lot of death.
Yes. It's the final push for the throne. And everyone is making those last-minute decisions as every single character is put into conflict.
So tell us a little bit about these characters. Explain why they are as powerful as they are, why they were seen that they were, and why this shift has been such a disappointment. So give us an example of a character that...
I think probably the most controversial character arc at this point is that of Daenerys Targaryen, Stormborn, many, many titles. We saw her start as a very meek character who was basically sold into a sexual slavery, into a marriage with a war leader by her brother. And she slowly rose and took power and gained her power by freeing slaves and by overturning what she saw as unjust. She made a lot of powerful statements about freeing the people and being the leader that they need, that's a just, confident leader. And now she's hitting a point where she's isolated. She's in a new context in Westeros instead of Essos, where she began. She's trying to claim what she sees as her rightful throne, and she doesn't quite fit in. Everyone has made it very clear that she's isolated and alienated and pushed to the sides, and all of her closest friends have died. And so in this last episode, the penultimate episode, she just burned down the main city, the capital.
So a lot of innocent people, which just feels like it goes against her justice and her ability to have been able to make decisions that were against her self-interest sometimes.
It raises questions.
Okay, so let me ask you, as a big fan of the show, have you been disappointed?
I have to admit, I haven't been as disappointed as the internet. I've enjoyed the show. I'm trying to suspend judgment until the finale. I think that this final season is one that will be much better watched in its entirety rather than week by week. And I think that a lot of the choices have been about timing. And fans have the ability with the internet to react in the moment. And
yes.
Then there's a feedback loop that happens where it gets amplified. And that kind of negative feedback and picking apart details just gets bigger and bigger because it's fun.
Hence the call by disgruntled fans of the final season of Game of Thrones who want HBO to remake the whole final season. We're talking with Renee Pastel. She's a PhD candidate in film and media studies at UC Berkeley and had taught a course on Game of Thrones at UC Berkeley. And we asked our listeners, what TV shows disappointed you at the end? And let's go to George in Saratoga. Hi, George.
Good morning. My objection to what's going on, especially in episodes 4 and 5, is the hand of God. Deus ex machina. The old theatrical, gig. That horse at the end of episode 5, where did that come from? In episode 4, Jon Snow is surrounded by, an army of whites, and he survives. How? The hand of God must have come down and plucked him out.
Well, George, thank you. I think we might be hearing just a touch of feedback behind you. But, George, I think you're hitting on a criticism that I've also seen where people feel like everything is happening really fast. Things are appearing very quickly in a rush to try to close up this story. It's just the pacing just feels really, really rushed.
Definitely, yeah. I think a lot of the criticism on the internet is about plot armor, where the characters are surviving because we need them for the final episodes, for the big push. And Jon surviving is something that is possible. He's not the main target, but it is stretching a little bit. And we cut away from him after the excitement of seeing whether or not he'll survive. The horse, we have to figure out. Hopefully they'll pick that up and it won't just be a one-off moment. But in the meantime, there's lots of readings of it in an allegorical sense, and possibilities of what might turn out in the series finale.
Well, let's go next to Leslie in Berkeley. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I'm actually a fan of The Song of Ice and Fire, which is Martin's books. I've read them and been on the fan page quite a bit on his website.
Yes.
And I've been really disappointed with perhaps the middle of the last season and this season. Part of it has to do with production values. I think they've really fallen off. And the other part is that the characters are not behaving true to how they've been presented for the last 7 seasons. And the other part is I don't feel it's being true to Martin's vision, which I think is unforgivable on the part of a TV series or a film writer, because it's not their story. It's George Martin's story. And he told us a story that had many, many complex levels, including an environmental factor that just never gets talked about.
Leslie, can I ask you a question? Just because I'm wondering, well, first of all, thank you for reminding us that we should say the series is based on the books by George R.R. Martin. And I'm wondering what it has felt like for them to do this to the show that you've clearly enjoyed for so many years.
Sometimes when filmmakers get a hold of a book, it's like, oh, let me just throw something at those guys. And that's a lot of fun, throwing things at the television set and yelling. But and the Monday morning quarterbacking is tons of fun. But the books are really complex, and they have a lot to say about power, about how we behaved as human beings in particular parts of history, and about not putting a modern-day sensibilities on people that would not have them. It's a heroic society in a pseudo-medieval world, just barely coming out of warlike, patriarchal culture. The women in the series really behave in very interesting ways within that power structure, And every one of them is a fairly singular sort of person being a member of the aristocracy.
So and it must be somewhat
frustrating. Of the Roses.
Yeah. Well, Leslie, thanks for that. And Willa Paskin is with us now. She's the television critic at Slate. Hi, Willa Paskin.
Hi.
Hi. So thanks for joining us. And what is your reaction to what you've been hearing from Game of Thrones fans?
Well, it's such an interesting thing that the caller just said, because I think what is happening is that, you know, the ending of the show was given to the David, you know, Benioff and Weiss, the sort of the showrunners, by George R. R. Martin. So what you're seeing happening is them trying to get the show to align with his ending. So it's like, it's not like the Danny, you know, burning up everyone in King's Landing is from Martin. So the problem is that the steps that my sense of what people are enraged about is that the steps that they took to get there, like, didn't scan. Like, we didn't see, it didn't take enough time. It didn't give that arc enough, you know, they didn't develop that arc. But where she ended up is so profoundly what the themes of Martin's books are, that, like, you know, history goes on forever, that war is horrible, that people contain good and evil within them, that there are no heroes, that there are no happy endings. Like, this is his. And I think that one of the things that's happening with people's distaste for what is going on is that the actual show for a couple seasons, and specifically with the arcs of the White Walker, which sort of is like almost like a Marvel superhero arc, you know, where we're going to get the big bad, misled people about the kind of show that it was, and sort of led them to believe, along with Danny's arc, along with John's resurrection, that, like, we were going to get something that looked like a happy ending. But that's not Martin, and that is what the show is now giving us, and it's like smashing audiences in the face with something that I think the show genuinely underprepared them for.
So I guess what I'm confused by, or what I'd like to better understand, is there are season finales and final, you know, final seasons, entire seasons that people get disappointed by. For example, Eden writes, the end of Dexter disappointed, so depressing. Bruce writes, Lost was pretty terrible, but it was not just the finale, it was the whole stringing viewers along. Like, there was actually a point or plot to that ridiculous show. Same now with Westworld, all from the twisted mind of J.J. Abrams. So certainly we've experienced some disappointment related to television shows that end poorly. But few have inspired 750,000 people to sign on to a petition to demand HBO remake, you know, the creators remake it.
It's so premature, truly. And I think people are, I mean, I think Game of Thrones genuinely has a larger audience than a lot of those shows. It's taking up a lot more, like, oxygen in the cultural space than a lot of those shows.
Yes, I think I read a stat that there were like 17.5 million viewers of one of the episodes in the final season.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that is sort of an unheard of number for a TV show at this point. I mean, there's more people watching it, like, you know, with over the course of a week on, you know, on TVR or wherever else they watch it. And I mean, we are more and more worked up about endings. It gets harder and harder to do them as sort of the fun of the show becomes like nitpicking what has happened. I think the fact that Martin sort of hangs like this ghost over the whole apparatus, and there's a suggestion that there might be like this perfect magical ending that he may or may not ever in fact write, has also like given people this feeling that like there's some better solution that they have so fully failed to grant us. But I also think in this final episode, I sort of am expecting the ending to actually make a lot of sense. So in that way, to be totally unlike Lost, like, they know where they're going. There's going to be an ending that is coherent. It's just that the sort of hopscotching of the steps in between makes that emotionally unsatisfying. And I think is delivering people a show that is actually like just a lot more grim than they are wanting to admit that they wanted it to be.
So you actually believe that the final episode won't suck as much as some fans are worried that it will.
I mean, I just think that it will theoretically make sense, which is like the way that Danny's arc theoretically fits in with the themes of George Martin's books. Like, I'm not saying that it makes sense in a felt way or in like an execution, but like on paper, this idea that a woman who or any leader who believes like she has the right to rule because of her blood, who is like maniacally obsessed with her being the best person to rule millions of people in a continent she's never seen, like that person contains the capacity to do anything, is like me saying that, that makes sense. I get that it doesn't always make sense in the execution of the show, but that's like the bones of that's the bones of this. That's like the themes. That's the ideas of like what this work has always been about.
Well, let's go to our callers, Everest and Corta Madera. Join us.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment about the pacing. I totally agree with some of the comments that it's been a little rushed and there's been a lot of cheap storytelling tricks like Tyrion getting hit on the head and then we cut to the next scene. It just seems like we waited a year and now it is hastily wrapped up. I'm a big fan of the show, but there are just so many little things like that to get it all wrapped up with a neat bow on it.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Sorry to hear that's happening for you, Everest. Hopefully the Sunday finale will make up for some of that, as Willa Paskin hopes and suggests it could as well. Joey in San Francisco, go ahead.
Hi. I'm enjoying this season, with the exception of the second season, which was so dark you couldn't even see anything. That was really frustrating from a production standpoint. I thought that was kind of a misstep. But it seemed obvious that Daenerys was going to be exactly what she is turning out to be, especially when she saw Jon getting all the kudos for riding a dragon when she actually taught him how to ride a dragon. So I thought you could just see how she was souring on all of them and turning. But I think it's going to end up fine. But I just wanted to mention a show that ended perfectly. And if it even comes close to Breaking Bad's ending, I think we'll all be happy. I think Breaking Bad was really the template on how to end a long-running series that had a lot of people not wanting it to end and feeling satisfied.
Give us one quick sense of what it was that made it so satisfying for you.
I think there wasn't a lot of things that just seemed like out of
character,
the normal of what you would expect to happen. I think that the way he went about knowing where he was going and where he had to bring it to was very clever and in line with who you knew he really was and where his evolution and arc as a character. And I think just with, you know, Vince Gilligan's style, it just was so entertaining with the machine gun coming out of the trunk of the car and just killing those awful people in such a dramatic way. But not until you went through this roller coaster of this, you know, stomach tightening tense moment, you know. So it's just brilliant
Joey.
Storytelling and production.
Thanks. Yeah. You're bringing it back for me. I was trying to remember the final episode. Now I have a very vivid image in my mind. We're talking about TV shows that disappointed you at the end and shows that really stuck the landing, inspired by the uproar, especially online, of fans over the final season of Game of Thrones, who wanted HBO to remake the whole final season, and the fact that the final episode will air this Sunday. We're talking with Willa Paskin, a television critic at Slate, and Renee Pastella, PhD candidate in film and media at UC Berkeley. And Kate writes, the final seasons of both Broad City and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend were really well written and wrapped up the storylines of the main characters in satisfying and unexpected ways. Good examples of strong woman writers. With Game of Thrones, on the other hand, under new male writers, Daenerys' character has taken such an uncharacteristic arc based on her past views. What are your thoughts on that, Renee Pastel, that women writers would have made it better?
I think it's possible that women writers might have, I mean, it depends on the women writers, right? But they might have fleshed out or taken a little bit more time to show her turn. As Willa pointed out, this is George R.R. Martin's ending that they're trying to build to. And so she was going to have this kind of heel turn to the villainy. It seems quite clear. But I think that it's hard to say. It depends on who the writers are.
Willa Paskin, what do you think of this and the fact that they feel like they're kind of betraying the female characters that they set up to be so powerful throughout this series?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sort of some of the beats that people are taking exception with Dany is like this idea that the triggering moment for her that she really like breaks bad is, you know, when Jon won't make out with her. And that seems like really petty and silly for the reason that she would like then suddenly turn mad. And I, you know, you would think that perhaps a woman writer might have like, or women in the writers room might have flagged that as being kind of preposterous. But I think there, you know, it's like one of the things about Game of Thrones is that it obviously has become like this metaphor for everything. Like, there's nothing that someone hasn't said. It is, you know, a projection of like what from global warming to imperialism to our current politics. And obviously Dany is a really potent figure in the way that it is a scrim for our current politics. Right. Here is this. We're in this moment where, right, like we seems like the arc of justice is bending towards, you know, more representation. And this female queen is going to like solve this internecine civil war in this foreign land that's like happening exactly in a moment when Hillary Clinton is running for office, and then it swoops in this, you know, last minute plot twist where instead Donald Trump becomes president. And like Dany, you know, like the actress who plays her, has compared Amelia Clark, has compared her to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, Elizabeth Warren has, you know, voiced her support for Daenerys before sort of her latest heel turn. I've seen memes comparing Dany to Hillary Clinton. Like, she's very symbolic of a lot of our stuff, our extra textual stuff about female politicians right now.
Well,
so
yes, I can see a lot of people wanting certain things to pan out the way that they would like to see the world to pan out as well. Hannah writes, though, I can agree that the Game of Thrones writing, especially the dialogue, isn't as clever as previous seasons, but I'm still enjoying it. I'm still rooting for my favorite characters, even some of the dead ones. Do I wish they'd given the show more room to breathe in the last two seasons? Sure, but do I think I'm owed a different ending in the story? No, I'm just happy someone came up with such a great story and told it to me in the first place. It's their story. Let them tell it. Can you just quickly, I'm wondering, Willa Paskin, just give us a sense of what the pressure are on show creators when they're coming up with the final episode.
I mean, I think I love that comment because I actually think one of the things that's kind of getting lost in like how mad everybody is and like the petition is like everyone is having a great time. Like, it is fun to like complain about your endings. And I'm not saying there aren't people who are like very angry about it or very betrayed, but I suspect that like a lot of it is also like it's fun to be that worked up about something that is not like actually the horrible stuff that is happening in the universe. And there is that level to it. I mean, I think there is a huge amount of pressure on showrunners to like stick the landing, but like they can only do so much, and more this happens where like it seems to be impossible, the more and more you start to wonder like, is it impossible not because like we're making it impossible because we just want everything to be exactly what we want and we have no idea what that is. It's just we know what it isn't.
But it's also such a community building exercise, right?
Yes.
To have all these fans come together on the internet, united around a show where it's an escape from reality to some extent, even with all the resonance. It's still this moment of coming together and saying, wait, I have insight into this.
Well, we're talking with Renee Pestel, PhD candidate in film and media at UC Berkeley, Willa Paskin, television critic for Slate. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Mina Kim. And so let's hear from some more of our listeners. I'll go to Chris in Oakland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you? I'm not at all unhappy with the ending. I think it's going really well. And I think people need to just relax a little bit and let it take its course and see what happens in the next one. But I also need to remind people, if I'm not incorrect, she is the daughter of a mad king. So maybe she's just inherited some of his madness and she's making the turn that he made himself. So maybe she's just as mad as he was and she's just evolving into that. So that's how I'm interpreting it in my own brain. So,
well, it makes sense to Chris. So thanks, Chris, for that comment. And Jeffrey says to Game of Thrones fans, get over it. The show doesn't owe you anything. So let's go next to Lindsay in Berkeley. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that, George R. R. Martin, I read Song of Ice and Fire, read all the books and eagerly awaiting him to wrap up the last two, and seeing how long that's taking him, you can only imagine the pressure that these showrunners are under to try to wrap up such incredible stories and characters in six seasons. It's a really challenging thing to do. So I think they could give the writers a little bit of slack there. And then as far as Daenerys, her character arc, you know, there are hints dropped throughout the show, and there's plenty of hints dropped throughout the books that this is definitely a turn that she could potentially be taking. So I think the outrage there is just, as your callers and commentators have said, is just, you know, we relate so much to Daenerys and how what she represents in our lives right now as a, you know, what's going on in our society that just makes it sting a little bit more.
Well, Lindsay, thanks for that. Let me see if Tana in Richmond has some thoughts. Hi, Tana, am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, you are. Thanks very much, Mina.
Sure.
I just wanted to talk about how crazily bad Daenerys' strategy was in that first battle when she was flying toward all the boats and they had the dragon stings on them. Why not just come from the side like she did in the second battle and just burn them all up with the dragon's flame? Instead, she lost one of her babies. And it just, she never would have been that stupid. I just didn't believe it from there. But it is fun to get worked up about something that has no weight or, you know, it's just funny to complain about it because it's silly. It's fiction.
Yeah, I think you really hit on something with that, Tana, and both Willa and Renee talking about that as well. And that there's a community behind you willing to join in with you on that. So thanks for your thoughts. Well, Noelle says, the Americans finale and final season as a whole was the best wrap-up in my book. And this listener writes, one of my favorite shows, Friends from College, was canceled with no season finale, no conclusion for most of the characters. It made me so mad. In my mind, the characters are just living on, making their same mistakes over and over again. But as I write that, it occurs to me that maybe that is a fitting ending. Frequently, I feel like people come around to that. I remember the uproar after The Sopranos' Fade to Black, Willa Paskin, and now I feel like suddenly people are like, you know what, that was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, endings that are difficult are disappointing. Like, it takes a minute sometimes. Sometimes it's the right thing, and it just, like, you know, having a reaction immediately isn't always, like, the right reaction.
So tell us what your hopes are for this final episode. Willa Paskin.
I expect that, like, it's going to be a, like, not happy closure ending, you know, like, probably no one will be on the throne, or whoever's on the throne will be, like, so broken and compromised that, like, we'll all be sort of bummed out about it. Like, that's like the lesson of the book. Like, you know, like, that it should be, like, satisfying but not, like, ecstatic.
Yeah. Right? And your advice for people to deal with that?
Like, it's fine. It's a TV show. Like, you can watch it all the time. You can pretend whatever you want it to happen. Like, it's fine. Anything you want. It's just a story.
Willa Paskin, television critic at Slate. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
And Renee Pastel, PhD candidate in film and media studies at Berkeley, who taught a course on Game of Thrones. Thanks for being with us this morning as well.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to our listeners for the enjoyable experience of hating on something, but then also reminding us that we are not owed anything and to appreciate the enjoyment we've had so far. Have a great weekend and enjoy the final episode, Game of Thrones.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.